Well, you've still got a chance to create an angel, because we're going to have a little bit of a talk now. So if you want to be doodling an angel while we're all making an angel while we're having a chat, then please do. I am going to mute you all because I don't want any heckling. I can hear. You can heckle on your own. Right, you're all muted. So, angels. I imagine if you think of angels, or if you've drawn your angel, that a lot of them have wings. Not all of them, maybe, but most angels, when we think about them, they have wings, because traditionally they fly, or they hover, or they suddenly appear in the sky without warning, and so they need wings. We put wings on them. And to be fair, sometimes in the Bible and also throughout history, angels have been described as having wings. The Hebrew word for angel is, wait for this, malach, which means messenger, someone who appears with a message. But they're also described in many other different ways. Now, hopefully John's got a PowerPoint here that he's, hold on, I need to, oh, it's all gone horribly wrong. There we go. Okay. So we have different images of angels here. We have a chorus of angels. For some reason, these are all old men with beards. I'm not really sure why, but we have choruses of angels. What else do we have, John, on this? We have angels who protect and guard people. Often in the Bible, there's images of angels. Angels who come and bring messages, like the message to Mary, as we heard in the quiz, or the messages to the shepherds to tell them that Jesus had been born. So they're messengers to people. We also have angels who come out and comfort people, angels who comforted Jesus after his temptation in the wilderness, who come and help people when they're in distress. There's lots of different images of angels. We have the cherubs that are described and drawn famously as little children with tiny wings, the little angels. And then we have the warrior angels, those who are mighty and strong and battle, and in the final days will bring about the final battle. These are the stories that we hear. There's lots of depictions of mighty angels and statues and things that people have created. But whatever we think of angels, they are big and mighty. The angel of the north is a magnificent thing, and if you go there, you feel so tiny when you're standing right under it or right next to it. It's an amazing thing. Thank you, John. So we have lots of different depictions of angels, but however they are depicted, the truth is that they're shown to be magnificent beings with powers far above and beyond any human being. Sometimes when they appear in the Bible accompanied by some strange phenomenon. Other times they don't, but often when they arrive with the words, "Don't be afraid," indicating that when they appear, they bring fear because of what they look like, because of how amazing they are. But on other occasions, in more recent times, we've heard of stories where angels have appeared disguised as human beings. They appear for that moment, they accomplish a task, and then they disappear, unrecognizable as an angel, but people can't describe who this person was. They're amazing beings. And yet in the beginning of the Bible, at the book of Hebrews, not the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of the book of Hebrews that we've been looking at, the author of this book is at pains to point out that although angels are amazing, they're nothing compared to Jesus. I just want to read from one translation of the Bible as our reading today, which is from Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 5. And it says this: God never said to any of the angels, "You are my son, today I have become your father," or "I will be his father and he will be my son." God's first and only son is over all things. When God brings him into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Here is something else God says about angels: God makes his angels to be like spirits. He makes those who serve him to be like flashes of lightning. But here is what he says about the son: "You are God. Your throne will last forever and ever. Your kingdom will be ruled by justice. You have loved what is right and hated what is evil. So your God has placed you above your companions. He has filled you with joy by pouring the sacred oil on your head." He also says, "Lord, in the beginning you made the earth secure. You placed it on its foundations. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will pass away, but you remain. They will all wear out like a piece of clothing. You will roll them up like a robe. They will be changed as a person changes clothes, but you remain the same. Your years will never end." God never said to an angel, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your control. All angels are spirits who serve. God sends them to serve those who will receive salvation. Or in other words, angels are magnificent, but Jesus, the Son of God, is even better. Now, I don't think any of us would disagree with that. We might like angels, we might not. We might have seen a few pictures of them, but most of us are certainly not fixated by angels. We don't necessarily think about them very much. Fairies or unicorns these days, maybe, but not angels. So why does the author at the beginning of the book of Hebrews feel the need to make this point clear that Jesus is greater than the angels? And why do we need to hear it today when we're not really thinking about that? Well, it seems that some of the first readers of this letter, which was mainly aimed at Jewish Christian audience, were beginning to find it hard to continue to follow Jesus after their conversion some years before. And they were tempted to go back to the roots of Judaism, which they had come from. Or should I say, they were probably being pressured by their communities to come back to the roots of their faith. So that even though they had decided to follow Jesus, even though they had accepted him as God and given their lives to him, they were tempted to go back to what they knew before they had encountered Jesus. And what they knew before Jesus for the Jewish community was, of course, the law. The law of God, which had guided and protected and shaped the people of God for years and years and years before Jesus was born. Now, the law of God was, of course, given to Moses, the great leader of God's people, who was held up by the Jews as the greatest there had ever been. But the law was also believed to have been given to Moses by the angels from God. They were, after all, heavenly beings who were sent to give messages, as we've heard, to God's people. And so the Jews believed that the angels had been integral in giving the law to Israel, making the angels great beings, almost as great as Moses himself in some eyes. And so here the writer of the letter to the Hebrews is seeking to highlight that although angels are great, amazing, magnificent beings, their role is not to be revered, but to prepare the way, to be the messengers, to make sure things are ready for the coming of Jesus, who then they, the angels, will worship. And the author does this by using lots of Jewish scripture, lots of the Old Testament, if you like, to compare angels with Jesus, to show how much greater he is than they are. The angels are great, the author of Hebrews says, but Jesus is the Son of God. The angels come and go, they flit and fly, and they do amazing things, they carry messages. But Jesus' throne will last forever. The angels are heavenly beings, but Jesus is the creator of the world. The role of the angels is to serve human beings and worship Jesus, but Jesus is here to rule and reign and be worshipped. One day the heavens and the earth will wear out and be rolled away, but Jesus will remain the same forever. Tom Wright, the former Bishop of Durham, when he was commenting on this passage, said it's a bit like a present that you might receive. Moses and the law and the angels and the revelation of God years and years before is like the wrapping paper that looks wonderful. It's all brightly coloured and it makes the present look amazing. But Jesus is the real gift inside. The wrapping paper might be great, but the gift inside is the reason that the paper is there. And in this passage, it's like the Jewish Christians are tempted to go back to playing with the wrapping paper, if you like, to obeying the law given through Moses and the angels, while ignoring the wonder of the real gift that is wrapped inside the paper and that the paper leads to. Jesus, the Son of God, who fulfilled the law and brought in a new time. And the author of the Hebrews is saying, look, there's no comparison. The gift is so much better than the wrapping. Now, we might think, well, yes, we know this. Just like last week, we knew that Jesus was God come to earth. And we're not tempted to go back to the law and the angels that were involved in bringing that, because that's not our history. It has no hold on us. It has no pull for us. But maybe there are things that we are tempted by. Maybe just like the Jews reading this letter, there are things that pull at us, even though we have Jesus. We talked recently in one of our groups during the week about how it's particularly hard at the moment to feel satisfied with life. We're all on a bit of a roller coaster, you know. Some days we feel okay and everything's all right. We think, oh, we're managing this, it's all right. And other days we just feel awful, oh, we're dissatisfied, there's nothing that we can do can make us feel better. we want something more. I know recently for us that Amazon has been taking a bit of a hit because, you know, retail therapy feels really good when you're a little bit down, doesn't it? Especially at the moment when you can't actually go out to the shops, and receiving a parcel is a bit of a thrill. In fact, getting your weekly shopping is very exciting at the moment, isn't it? Because it's something that we can enjoy in the mundane of not being able to do a lot of things. But for other people, it might be something different that meets the need. It might be that maybe we've got a task that we can accomplish that fills that gap, which helps us feel better. Or maybe it's a new project that we've suddenly become very interested in. Or our daily exercise, which we become fixated with. Where can we go? I have to go and do it. There are things that we are searching for that make life better at the moment, or for some of us, just make it bearable. And for the world, of course, the pinnacle at the moment and the thing that we're all looking to, or we're all urged to look to, is science. We're urged to follow the science, to look towards a vaccine, to wait for science to find the answer. Because when science finds the answer and vaccines are finally available, we can go back to what we have always known, or some form of it, at least. And of course, none of these things are bad. In fact, many of them are good. They bring hope, they bring us joy, and they bring us bright spots in our darkness, just like the angels and the law did for the Jews as they followed God. But still, these things are just the wrapping. They're not the gift. They're not the gift that we've been given. They're not what everything finds its fulfillment in. They're not the reason that we have our life and our being. They're just the wrapping. They're colourful. They're exciting, they're full of hope, they're glittery and frivolous at times. But they all find their culmination in the gift that is Jesus Christ. Because one day, as this passage says, all the things that we search around in, all the things we seek to fill the gap, will come to an end. One day, the vaccines that have always worked won't work. One day, the earth that has always sustained us will no longer be able to. One day, the items we buy and the jobs we do will come to an end. But Jesus, the one who brings all these wonderful things we have, will remain the same. The one who surpasses anything we have ever known. So when we struggle, and when we're empty, and when we feel hopeless and helpless and tempted to go fumbling around searching for wrapping paper, maybe instead we could take a better look at the gift, another look at Jesus. And search until we find all that we need in him. And we've got one more little slide just to show you. It's a quote from Martin Luther King. Who doesn't like a quote from Martin Luther King, I say? So I thought I'd conclude this service with one. It says this: the great military leaders of the past have gone. Their empires have crumbled and burnt to ashes. But the empire of Jesus, built solidly and majestically on the foundation of love, is still growing.
Amen.
So we leave you with the words of Martin Luther King.